It's the fall. It's my nervous cough.
Hi guys, welcome to my podcast. We'll get la 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 la. La 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 la. Wait, can you start over? Okay. Hi guys, I'm your host Mariah. Welcome to my podcast. We'll get back to that later. And we have
Shayla.
So today's topic is about trauma. We are first going to talk about family traumas. So I've actually been going to therapy for, I think, 2 years now, and I think therapy is amazing. Also, I broke my nail, and it's kind of killing me, so I'm going to try to not focus on that. But anyways.
I need my nails done.
ADHD right here, or ADD, you know, combination of the both. Mm. So I've been in therapy for, like, 2 years now, maybe a little longer, and I think that one, I think therapy is amazing. I think that everybody could use therapy, especially for, like, the society that we live in. But one of the...
Huh? I don't know about therapy. I tried it. Maybe you have a good therapist, but...
I definitely think that it all has to do with who's your therapist. And I think sometimes it takes going to 2, 3, 4 therapists before you finally find the person that's like right for you 100%. Because even other people that I've spoken to who like started therapy and then stopped and then started therapy with somebody else, like they say that. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
What number therapist is this?
This was the first one. But I'm blessed in all ways because like God knew what he was doing. He was like, Mariah, I'm going to just pull you to this lady. I actually messaged my therapist at 3 o'clock in the morning.
And she answered you and she was fine?
She answered me the next day in the morning. And she messaged me saying, I was actually up when I got your message, but I didn't want to respond to you thinking that I was like a crazy lady. So anyways, therapy. So definitely think it's amazing. But one of the things that I've learned through therapy is how I've had a very traumatizing childhood. And I used to always think like, this is normal. This is how life is. This is how like families are. This is how parents are. This is how step parents are. This is how siblings are, like aunts, uncles, everything. Like this is just normal, you know? And then in therapy is when I realized like, wow, Mariah, you have had a very traumatic childhood, like a very traumatic life in general. But I actually did this like scale. I forget like what the test is, but there's like a scale and it's like 1 through 10 where you fall on it. And I was literally at number 9 and my therapist was like, Mariah, you need to stop saying that you haven't had a traumatic childhood because you have had a very traumatizing childhood, which I think has made me the person that I am today. Like, I'm very thankful for everything it is that I've ever gone through. But yeah, that's what today's topic is, trauma.
Interesting. She was able to talk to someone about her life and look how giggly she is. I have never talked to anyone about my life and I just jotted everything down as a poetic person or had a journal and never expressed my traumatic life, and no one has ever knew that I ever had a traumatic life. They thought I was always like this golden, perfect, great child who always had this smiley face, and I had a crazy traumatic life that I can just write a novel, a series, or even have a Netflix movie.
But it's interesting how you say that, because even for me, I always get people saying like, Mariah, you're so bubbly, you're so happy, like you're always smiling. And I am, like, that's genuinely me. And I think too, a lot of times, for me at least, I find it a lot easier to smile through my pain than to be sad about my pain. Like, I'm gonna laugh it off. Like, the world could be falling apart and I'm gonna laugh because like it's what's gonna get me through. I remember having a friend tell me like, Mariah, your whole life could be falling apart and nobody would know, and it's so true. Like, I definitely handle myself with some grace, and I love that about myself. Yes.
What do you want to share of what has happened in your life that has been traumatic, but you have not said that your life has been traumatic because your therapist said, hello, Mariah, you have had a traumatic childhood?
I think
starting from itty bitty to the stages.
So one of the things that I realized in therapy is how I actually blocked a lot of things that had happened to me in my childhood. And like one of the things that ended up coming out was remembering my dad actually getting arrested and going to prison. And literally like witnessing the cops come and take my dad. And it's crazy because I remember like talking to my mom and being like, Mom, why did you like let me see that? And
how old were you?
Three.
3 years old. You yeah. remember that? Wow.
Yeah. I remember going to this apartment that my dad had in New York. Me, my mom, and my brother went. It was late at night. And my dad actually telling us that he was going to go away and not understanding at the time what it was that he meant by that, but that he was going to go away. And the cops came, we're on the sidewalk, they're taking my dad, and I'm yelling like, Bobby, 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 like, don't take my dad. And my mom's trying to like hold me back and everything.
Wow, how old was your brother? You guys were like, what, how many years old?
A year and a half, so he was little, like wow. little, little.
So he probably doesn't even remember.
I don't think he does, yeah. No.
But if you remember, you were three, like how could you remember that? Wow.
And the thing is, like, I remember that like 20 something years later, like, and almost my whole, like, my whole life, you know, almost my whole life went by and I didn't realize that I had like really put that in the back burner. And then like therapy happened and it was like, holy shit, like this, I think one of the things like from that experience, I always think that like people are going to leave. I always think that like no one's ever going to stay. Because of losing my dad like so young. And I mean, I actually did lose my dad, like he actually died when I was 22. But like from him initially being taken away so young, it's like this fear almost that like everyone that I love is always gonna leave. But yeah, I remember like reaching out to my mom, like we were actually sitting in a bathroom and I'm sitting on the counter and I'm just like, Ma, like why did you let me experience that? Like, why did I witness that? Why did you have me go through that? And she's just like,
how old were you when you had this conversation with her?
This was probably like 3 years ago. Mm. No, if I've been, no, I've been in therapy for 3 years now, actually. I have been in therapy for 3 years because this conversation happened 3 years ago. And I remember my mom, I'm sitting on the counter and my mom's standing in front of me and she's crying. And she's just like, Raya, at that time, we just thought it was best to like really let you guys know what was going on. Like, that's how we grew up. Like you let the kids know what's happening, what's going on. Like we thought that was what was best for you. And traumatizing, like I remember the first time I actually like went to jail to see my dad and he was at like the Bridgeport jail. And just the barbed wire and everything. And my aunt was the one who, like, rest her soul, because she's also no longer here. But she was the one that brought me. And I remember just bawling, just realizing at such a young age that my dad was, like, already in a cage. And then after that, like, going to the actual prison and you walk in and you're literally, like, in a whole metal box and a metal door, and then like those doors close and you're there and there's also other strangers there because there's people that you don't know. Then the next set of doors open, then you walk through, then there's tables. There's times where it was just like how you see on TV where it's just like a phone and there's like a glass and there's a phone and you pick up the phone and that's how you talk to them. And I remember there was one time, like, he was at this one facility that we were actually able to, like, go outside and there was, like, these little benches. There was other times where, like, we got to spend, like, weekends. I spent weekends in prison as a kid. Like, I spent
weekends.
Yeah, I spent a week. My grandma, my dad's mom, she used to go and buy, like, everything it was that my dad loved, from pizza to pound cake to cheesecake, like everything it was that he loved, because you had to bring your own food. And
that was allowed in prison?
Yeah. I don't know, but yeah. Yeah.
Wait, but you stayed weekends in prison?
Yeah, there's like, so I guess like
that was allowed?
Yeah. Right then? Yeah. Wow. I guess like if you're married or whatever, there's like you go to the prison, then
that's what you
get
see in the movies.
Yeah, yeah, literally what you see in the movies. What you see in the movies. So you go to the prison, then they put you in a van, and I remember there was other families that were there too. It wasn't just us. And then you get to this like cement block or whatever. Like literally it's cement. There's no windows whatsoever. You walk in, there's like a living room, kitchen, there's another bedroom. I think if I recall correctly, there's two bedrooms. Maybe there was only one, but I think there was two. And then there's a bathroom, and it's very like almost like how a hospital is, or like maybe like a psych ward is, where there's like no windows. Everything is like cold and hard and metal, and like it was, yeah, I like,
at least you guys were together, yeah, but not comfortable.
Yeah, it was the wildest experience. And then as he, like, the longer he was in there and the closer he got to his release date, I remember one time we were in one that it actually did have windows, but there was no hot water. Like we like, you know, those baths that you take.
That was like being in Puerto Rico in the outhouse, yes, which I hated, and it, yes, was so scary.
Or those baths that you take, like, I don't know if you did this ever as a kid, but I remember as a kid that there was times where we didn't have hot water and you boiled the water.
Yeah.
And that's how you took a bath. Oh. Yes. Yes. Oh my God.
That's very, very, yes, traumatizing.
Yes. Mm. And so, the closer he got, we were in this one facility, and that's how it was. So this place actually looked a little more like a house. It had windows, it had like a little porch, it had a yard, but around the house, around the yard was a barbed wire fence, and then another barbed wire fence, and then there was space, and then there was another barbed wire fence. It was like, I remember we were playing with like a ball, and one of the balls got thrown out, like, by accident, got like thrown over the fence or whatever. You were not getting that back. The ball was gone. But yeah, I always used to think like that's normal. I also remember one time, the very first time I ever had to decide if I was gonna go see my dad in prison or if I was gonna choose to do like an activity that I wanted to do. And I remember it being like the most heartbreaking thing, and like not knowing what to decide, and then feeling very like selfish because I chose what it was that I wanted to do versus like going to see my dad.
You didn't understand.
Yeah.
You were a kid.
Yeah.
It was normal.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Like, and I used to think that this was all normal. Like, I used to think that, like, I guess everyone's dad is in prison. Like, I guess everyone's going through this or whatever. And like, lo and behold, that is not true. Granted, there are plenty of people whose parents are in prison, but yeah, that definitely had a very big impact on my life that I never realized it had until I got older. And I wish I would have realized it more when my dad was alive. So that was something that I could have like talked about with him and like healed from with him while he was still alive versus having to heal from it without him being here. Mm-hmm. But
I thought it was normal too, because I saw him sometimes growing up. And when I used to stay over, I didn't see him there because why? I didn't see my father all the time either. And he wasn't in prison, but he worked a lot. And I would see him on the weekends sometimes, or he would take me out sometimes. And come to find out, it's like growing up, my father and my mother were together. And then growing up, as I got older, then they weren't together. And come to find out, he had a whole separate life. And then my mother, you know, she was raising three kids by herself. And then she had a house. And I didn't really understand the situation, how their relationship was. And then it's like I see other families that were together. And then it's like I'm in a mixed household, and I'm brought up in a Spanish household, and then I'm Black and I don't know my Black side of the family. I only know my Spanish side of the family. And then it's like, okay, are my parents together or are they not together? And it's like, how does this work? You know? And then it's like, okay, who is my family and what's going on, and how, like, do I find out this Black girl or this Black boy, are they my cousins? Or if I like this person, are they my cousin? Like, it's just crazy and like creepy at the same time, you know? And then it's like, oh, I like this kid. Oh, come to find out, oh, that's my cousin. And it's like, oh, hi, how you doing? Like, oh, long lost relative, hey.
I actually remember.
Crazy, you know? And then I ended up meeting family in my late 20s.
That's so crazy. You know? I remember one time you telling me about your parents, like, being together, and me telling you, like, Shayla, no, they aren't. Like, they're not, like, no, they aren't. Like, no, like, you, and you're like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, no. And I think, like, it real, like, I think that's when it really hit you that, like.
Wow, they're not together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy and then finally traumatizing and, like, wow, they're really not together. And it was just, that's a whole, we'll get back to that later. Yes. Yeah, another story. But yeah, I had a traumatic, childhood with that too. I suffered from chronic migraines and seizures and epilepsy. And more so at age 15, I was involved in a relationship. Yeah, I can't even like really remember how long of a relationship we were involved with each other. And you know, throughout my life, I should say, I feel like everything is like pictures. Like people kind of remember memories and details, but since like I had accidents and with the relationship that I have, I don't really remember a lot of things. And a lot of things, like you said, you block out in your life, that even like conversations that I have with people and things, I can't remember. Sometimes I have like, how should I say, like spells, like they say, like grand mal seizures, that it's like mild, they say. Like I just could be in a staring conversation, but like it's like a moment that I have like a seizure. Sometimes I like not stutter, but like a silence. And people are like, what the hell is wrong with you? It's because I'm having like a mild seizure or I'm like stuck type of thing for like a few minutes. Or I just forget something or I completely don't remember anything. And that's a very frustrating time, I should say, in my life, and I just cannot stand it, and it frustrates me. Or I completely forget things that I say, I don't remember anything, and it's very troublesome. So I should say that, again, going back, long story short, into this relationship with this man, that when I found out he was cheating.
So you were 15 and he was older?
Yeah, yeah. 18, out of school, everything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I would say, like, first real relationship. Found out he was cheating, broke up with him, and I was getting ready for my grandmother, which is my dad's mom's funeral. Never met her. I was going to the funeral, meeting everyone on my dad's side of the family. And lo and behold, this man kept calling me, kept decline. I didn't want to be worried about him. I'm getting ready for a funeral that I'm meeting everyone for the first time. And he comes to my house. And this man ends up breaking down my mom's door like a Hulk. And my grandparents were in the backyard gardening. And my brother, who was my oldest brother, I have two older brothers. My oldest brother was downstairs sleeping, got out of jail, knocked out, and we had two dogs. We had a German Shepherd.
Yeah, I remember.
Mystical. Oh, and we had a pit bull, Diesel.
Yes.
And yeah, so he broke down the door, busted in there, wanted to talk to me. At that point, when you break down the door, I don't want to talk to you. And he attacked me. He attacked me, and all I saw was black. Like, I was like, oh, I'm about to die tonight. Well, die that morning because I was getting ready. And he threw me through the wall of my mom's house and was just beating me in my face. And I was like, yep, I just blacked out. everything. And then I saw the dogs was attacking him. And then my brother heard the commotion, came upstairs, and this guy ran out the back door, jumped off the balcony. The dogs ran after him. And my grandfather ran after him with a metal bat and everything. And I have no idea. I just, like, blacked out. And I remember getting my braces taken off and everything. I was like, oh, my God. He probably, like, knocked out my teeth and everything. And, again, I just was, like, blacking out. And I just kept praying. I was like, oh, my God, please don't die. Please don't die. Like, I couldn't remember anything. And then all I was doing was just praying. And then I'm, like, in and out of conscious and everything. And then all I saw that I was downstairs and my mom walks in from work. I don't even remember who called her or anything. And all she said was like, oh my God, and dropped her bag. And then my dad walks in and he used to be a police officer. He had a black suitcase. And mind you, I didn't see him in a suit or anything. He was in regular street clothes. He had a black suitcase, looks at me and walks right back out the house. Because he was supposed to be going to the funeral. He's supposed to pick me up and everything. Walks right back out the house. And I'm being rushed to the hospital, everything. I never went to the funeral, obviously. Excuse me. And now I'm okay to talk about this. At the point, I was never okay to talk about this or anything. It was my last senior year, everything. Then I remember my dad coming to see me in the hospital. He didn't say any words. He just saw me, walked out. Then my mom came. She walked out. Then I remember being released. I don't even know how long I was in the hospital for being released. I had surgery. And I had a brace over my nose. And again, this is all just me remembering just pictures. Not really remembering stuff. Then going to court and stuff like that, he ended up serving 5 years and then like 9 years probation, which I don't even know if that was like how it's supposed to be. And then me going to court and having to testify, it was just a lot. It was very intense. It's a lot and hard. And still kind of hard to talk about it, but being more comfortable. And mind you, here I am, 37, and this happened to me at 15.
How do you feel like that situation, like, affected your relationships going forward?
Not trusting men or having men put their hands on women. You're like, you're breaking up with someone. Because they cheated on you. You caught them cheating on you. And just like, okay, I'm done. Like, you know, not even seeing signs that this person can even do this or anything. And like,
he was never abusive like prior to this.
No, nothing ever. Nothing. Never. Nothing. I would never even had seen that or even crossed my mind at all. And it was hard. Like, I was just like, why me? Like, what happened? You know, like, it was just weird. And I was like, damn, the first time I was actually gonna like meet my dad's side of the family and like go to a funeral. And I don't know. I just had a lot of mixed feelings, emotions. I didn't want to talk. I miss the first half of my senior year. I was just turning 16 at the time. And what's kind of funny, not funny, like everyone thought at school that I was getting a breast reduction because I always said I got big boobs. I need to get my boobs done. And they were like, where's Shayla? Like, she's not in school. Like, what happened? Did she go forward with the surgery? You know, like, she's really out this long. Was it really intense? You know? And I wasn't answering my phone. I wasn't calling no one because I was in a really dark, depressing state. And I was very self-conscious of, like, how I looked because he broke my nose. I had to get reconstruction on my nose. I couldn't wear my glasses. I was wearing glasses because of the brace. And then my vision, I couldn't see because something with my nerves and something with my brain because he kept knocking into my head. So, like, that's why I have, like, with the whole epilepsy and the chronic migraines of how...
I mean, this has been, like, lifelong effects since this situation.
Yes, 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 big time. So that's why I said, like, with my vision and how I remember and interpreting things and just talking and, like, how I get stuck with certain things. So I don't make that, like, impact with different things, but it can be a little frustrating. But yeah, it's troublesome, traumatic. Well, my son, even though he's a very respectable young man, he knows and he knows the story. It bothers him because I'm his mother. And not even that, when I was pregnant with him, I ran into this gentleman and I walked right back out the store. And I told my husband, and my husband went right into the store and handled, you know, well, I went into the store for and made sure there was no problems because that was still a traumatic impact for me because I was young. And here I am, 18, pregnant, and it was traumatic. And I was like, oh, no, I can't be in the store, you know? And he's like, what's going on? I was like, he was like, oh, okay. And that's it, you know? And when my son got older and he was able to interpret and everything, and I explained to him, and he was like, mommy, like that. I'm like, yeah, you know, you wouldn't be here if I wasn't here because of this. And thank God, you know, I was still here because of whatever. And he was just like, wow, my daughters don't know, but if they see this, then they're gonna know. But I always told them, respect yourself, love yourself. Even if you don't see a sign, you know, something has happened, then you separate yourself from the situation. That's it. My daughter's in high school right now. Now I found out there is a boy in the picture. And you know what? When I go home today, we're going to have a talk. Yeah. You know, but yes, long story short, I did have a traumatic situation and I removed myself and that's what happened. And for any young girl, older woman still, like, love yourself, know what you're worth, and just know the signs, seek help. Yeah, no. But it was very hard. And even still to this day, it's a little hard, but no. Yeah.
I love you. Shayla.
I love you too. I want to write a book one day, but yes. Yeah. It is. And yeah, still an impact in my life, but the more I'm able to talk about and everything, the better I'm able to become and a better person. And yeah, it's hard. And even with family, like I said, with my father, we have a better relationship. We talk, but it was even like hard at one point. Like, he's like one of, I can't even catch up, 7, 8, 10 kids, you know? And I was able to be close with one of his sisters, God rest her soul. Him and his sister has the same birthday. I was able to finally communicate and get close with her. And I love her so deeply. And I'm grateful to have a great relationship with her. And I think about her every day, and I feel like I'm able to talk with her spiritually, and she was able to make me have a better relationship with my father and able to make me move past all the wrongs that he has done in the past. And it's not my fault that he did the stuff that he did in his life. And again, no child has asked to be here. It's a blessing that any child is here, but I'm able to have my children and pray for my children and make sure they have a great life and make sure I'm doing the best for them and be the best parent and make sure I'm doing everything right and have them make the right choices and not have them feel what I felt as a child growing up, and make sure they don't have a traumatic experience. And no parent has a manual to be the perfect parent growing up, and no child is perfect. I know what my kids do wrong, but I always try to make sure they're comfortable in the best way, and making sure that I'm doing everything I can as a parent and making sure they're on the right path. So when they make their choices, that is on them. And no matter how many times they fall, I'm there to be right by their side, to pick up the pieces and making sure they're doing good.
You want better for your kids than you had for yourself.
Yes.
I get that.
But hey, nobody's perfect. As much as we want to be perfect.
This is true. Well, guys, that's it. Thank you. We'll get back to that later.